Tampa.
Explorers, welcome back to the Starfield Lorecast. This is your host, Tom. I've got Dave Chaffins, my co-host, with me. Dave, we had the Starfield Direct today, just today. We've been waiting months and actually years for this. And finally, we have the Starfield Direct. We're 3 months out from launch. How are you feeling about this right now?
Listen, I've got my saddle ready to mount onto my big trash heap of a ship, and I'm going to space cowboy it right up into the stars like a shooting star. I am so, so, so excited for this game. 45 minutes of pure gameplay. I don't think you can get better than that for marketing material.
Yeah, no, it was great. I think they knocked it out of the park. We've been waiting for more about this amazing game, and they've revealed so much more. We're going to go over all of the details that really stood out to us. We can't cover every single thing because we would just have to recap the entire thing, but we're going to cover the stuff that really stood out to us, plus some hints about space magic and what's actually going on with the storyline of that, because they've hinted at it a few different times, and then at the end they showed a little bit of space magic, but they didn't really tell us what's going on with that. So we've got some theories about that stuff. We're going to go through everything. And first of all, the thing I want to start out with as we go through this conference is they summed up the spirit of Starfield and Bethesda games in general at the beginning perfectly with this little section right here. Check this out.
Starfield is our first new universe in over 25 years, but it's still a Bethesda RPG through and through, where you step into a new world and you get that feeling of unlimited possibilities. But this time, it's not just one world.
So they tell us that you get this feeling of unlimited possibilities. And Dave, this really stood out to me. It makes me know that Todd Howard and everybody else in the studio understands one of the core reasons why we love their game so much. Fallout, Elder Scrolls, this feeling of going into a new game and just endless possibility. The landscape is open in front of you, and in this case, multiple planetscapes and a whole galaxy of stuff, and you just have endless possibilities. I think that's like a perfect way to start this whole thing off.
Yeah, and it feels like they seem not only to sell this game, but also it feels like it's the game they want to make. Like, ideally, this is like the culmination of all of their, you know, previous titles, and we see a lot of that in this gameplay, but it feels like that they are excited about this game, and this is the most core Bethesda game that they have possibly made.
Yeah, and so they go into details pretty quickly here. We get a lot of stuff. In 45 minutes, they packed this full of details. First of all, they introduce Constellation, the group that we end up becoming a part of. And it doesn't seem like we're initially part of that group, because they do show a little bit later on, we'll show you some of the character creation stuff and the dialogue you have with some other characters. It seems that you probably have a situation right at the beginning of the game where you end up touching an alien artifact or something, and it affects you, and then you're brought into Constellation in order to connect with them. And we're told that they are the last of the explorers, this tradition, this human tradition, and we're shown old pictures of famous explorers and ships and those kinds of things. And it gives us this sense of being part of this long history of human exploration, but we're in a future that has broken off of our actual reality, similar to something like Fallout, where things aren't necessarily going great, at least for people who want to continue exploring the galaxy. So we end up with that kind of thing going on right at the beginning, where we're introduced a little bit more into Constellation, some of the individuals and that kind of stuff. Any thoughts on Constellation, Dave?
It seems interesting from a historical aspect of having, it seems like there's a lot of, and we see it in the game, of a lot of these, like, almost like I would consider relics from the old world, these paintings, this like a model ship, like who has a model ship, you know, just right, kind of hanging around. So it seems like it's very like a space Illuminati. That's yeah. the way it feels to me.
Yeah. And so much of what I love about the games like Fallout is the reference to actual real world stuff and how it plays out. And so I think we're going to see a lot of that as well. A lot of these themes and reoccurring concepts and even the way they talk about like NASA punk being the style of the ships and that kind of thing. They take the real world stuff and they extrapolate it out into this really cool adventure. So we also have New Atlantis. What did you think about New Atlantis?
New Atlantis just looked like a really cool Epcot. You know what I mean? Like, just like it's all this like very rigid structure, but everything seems to be in almost like a zigzag pattern as you go to everything. It seems like very well kept. It seems very on the surface. Everything is just like ideal when you look at it. Now, I'm not sure if that's actually how it's going to be in the game, but it seems like it's the idealized version of like what Space City could be.
Right. For those of you who don't know, Epcot is part of Disney World here in Florida. And it's like this whole separate park where you can go visit the different nations of the world and go to the science thing and the oceans and all of this stuff. But it has that like everything's clean, everything's stylized in a very similar kind of way across the entire right. park. And that's
and it was originally designed as like almost like a Bioshock experiment.
Like the city of the future. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on, we have this is our first hint at space magic, at superpowers. And here, I'm just going to go ahead and play this little clip for you. Check this out.
Humanity's biggest questions.
The artifacts are so different, so alien. And I'm certain one of them reached out and spoke to you.
So we get this glimpse right here at the beginning of the thing of a scene where you come across an alien artifact and this narration saying, I'm certain one of them reached out and spoke to you. This is a situation that happens in games and novels and fantasy and all that kind of stuff where you have an experience or the main character has an experience that sets them apart from everybody else. You came across an artifact and it spoke to you. This feels like a Mass Effect thing too, like the similar kind of concept of like you're the mm-hmm. special one. But because of that, in this, I think this is a hint to not only did it speak to you, but it has given you space magic. There's powers that are being imbued through this connection, and that's why you're special. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think that they have kind of like danced around this idea of like what we think of psionics. And I think they're trying to, you know, make that be their version of it. Cause like, obviously there's like the Force or whatever in Star Wars, like there's different flavors of space magic itself, but I think they're really trying to put forth this like, oh, you know, there are these, you know, what we'd consider magic artifacts in the game, but they're few and far between. And that's kind of what sets, like, that's the story of your character is here's this person that has access to these like alien artifacts that apparently speak to you and make you do some cool stuff.
Yeah. So do you think we're going to get like a Skyrim kind of thing where like that first artifact gives you the Foos and then another artifact you come across as you continue to explore the universe gives you some other ability and so you continue to unlock as you explore?
I mean, I think so. I think that they showed a little bit of character creation and kind of like led into that. And excuse me if I'm jumping ahead here, but the Argos excavation situation where they were like, whoa, dude. And there's like alien artifacts that are just kind of like sitting around there like, whoa, dude, you passed out. What's happened? Like, so the game probably begins with like, la-di-da-di-da, I'm binding my colony. Oh, touch this artifact. And now the aliens speak to me and I can do some wacky stuff. Like, to me, that seems like a good place to be like, and the character has amnesia.
Right, right, right. The effect of this alien artifact has now, you know, basically wiped the slate clean. You're right. Able to create your character and all of that. Yeah, we're going to jump into that in a little bit. But during this portion of the event, they talked about this cast of characters, the other characters at Constellation. And we get this clip here. Check this out.
It's definitely an eclectic cast of characters. You've got Sarah Morgan, the ex-soldier and adventurer, now Constellation's leader. Mateo, the theologian who believes that there's definitely something else out there. Noel, the gifted scientist and Sarah Morgan's protege. And Walter, a very successful businessman in the Settled Systems and Constellation's financier.
Anything goes as long as you have the money.
There's also Vlad, the ex-pirate, Sam Coe, the former space cowboy, and Barrett.
You know what I hate about these pirates? Completely resistant to my otherwise irresistible charm.
I feel like that some of those characters are going to be iconic, like the kinds of characters that we talk about for a long time, that I've spent a lot of time on the Fallout Lorecast talking about the different companions and characters. And I feel like most of these people will be able to go on you on your adventures with you. It seems to
it
be
seems
the case.
Like that. Yeah. That's what it seems like to me. Vasco. And they said that essentially they could do three things, like go to your ship, go to your outpost, or go with you.
Right, right. So I wouldn't be surprised that you can't just like take all of them, or at least most of them. Also, the old guy, the old rich guy, I'm like, red flags raise in my mind. I'm going like, is he going to be the villain? Is he going to be the bad guy? Because old rich guy, it feels like it's a trope, but maybe not. That's just a gut feeling on that. I don't know what
could
you think about that.
Could be.
But the characters look cool. We got space cowboys. We have this wide collection of different individuals from like what feels like the breadth of this, I don't know, the social structure.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that they included, like, they made sure to talk about the theologian. And I was like, oh, I guess like religion and space. And then later on, they talk about traits and characters. And one of the traits you could get is you were a part of a certain religion, and that gets you by these speech checks. And I was like, that's interesting. I don't think I've seen like religious like beliefs in like the way that we consider them in like in current setting outside of, you know, the Children of Adam, which are a caricature, and the Skyrim religions, which are like, you know, fantasy religions. I'm very curious about all of that. That seems really interesting to me.
Yeah. We mentioned the Children of Adam, and the Fallout stuff takes everything and kind of cranks it up to 11. Everything becomes super extreme. And I mean, to say that religions haven't been extreme is a little bit silly, because many, many have, and many are. But I think what you're going to see here is a much more grounded approach, because you have the theologian who's part of Constellation, which makes sense, because people, you know, you move forward in time, it's like people aren't all of a sudden not going to be religious anymore. That's part of the human experience. So to have that breakdown and how exploring the universe has affected Earth's religions, and how new religions have been founded on some of these things that they've found, is an interesting thing, because it really does ground it in the reality of being human. So I think you're right. I think that makes a really good point. So outside the bounds of settled space, we have some other factions, and we've heard mention of the Crimson Fleet. I don't recall. I've been kind of focused on other stuff. I don't recall the Red Mile. Do you remember the Red Mile from anything
else? The Red
else?
Mile is a new thing that they showed off today, and it seems like it's some sort of like game of some sort, or is some sort of like facility that they're running the Red Mile out of, because it seems like that there's like a competitive aspect to the Red Mile.
Yeah, so we get this glimpse to like the outer reaches of space, where like space raiders exist, and what's going on with them, and like how all of that works, and who all these different factions are. So we get this glimpse at the Red Mile here. Let me pull this up. Check this out.
Outside the bounds of civilized space, there are still plenty of unclaimed systems to explore, but these areas are also home to the most hostile factions in the galaxy.
The great serpent hungers. All heathens shall be made dust in time.
A new face. This is the face of a brave runner here to challenge the Red Mile.
They think the galaxy is theirs. They are wrong. It belongs to the Crimson Fleet. It always has.
So first you have the like the serpent thing, and I don't know if the Great Serpent is the name of the group or some religious sect or something like that, right? But we get this quick little glimpse of them, and they're like, they're really cool looking spacesuits. And then we have the Red Mile, and they're talking about like running the Red Mile. So maybe this is like a, what was the movie with Running Man, was it? With Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 80s?
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe it's like that kind of situation. We also had some other glimpses to some really dark underbelly sides of some of the places that we have heard of, with like the murder scene with all the blood on the bed. So Bethesda is not shying away from the M rating on this game, because they're going deep into the dark underbelly and the more dangerous parts of the galaxy, which is exciting.
It seems like they have created systems to be bad, like contraband scanning on ships, or you know, the pirate stuff that they showed off, where you can board a ship and kill everybody on it and take it and like walk away, like that kind of stuff, like you would more find in like a Grand Theft Auto kind of situation.
Of
like systems based around doing crime. But I mean, that's not uncommon for Bethesda games based off of, you know, pickpocketing frag grenades, or, you know, an entire thieves guild or assassins guild, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you think about the other games that they've done, there's always been a dark quality to some of the stuff that goes on, being a cannibal in one of the games, or like you're saying, like the Dark Brotherhood, and just an entire guild based around assassination. And some of the, I mean, heck, some of the dark lore around the Daedric Princes and the terrible things that they've done. So they're not afraid to take things into that realm. And I'm excited to see more of that, because what we get in things like Fallout 76 and ESO tends to be a little bit more T for teen, a little bit more toned down in some regards than the mainline games.
I think so.
Yeah. So, but these games, we get a little bit of a darker look at things. Then we got some stuff about character gen. Actually, before we go into character gen, we did get a glimpse of some places that look very like space Western, you know, saloons and cowboy hats and Firefly-esque, maybe even.
Yeah, I would say so.
Which I'm excited for. I think that
The Free Star Collective and the Kill a City all seems very like everyone's wearing cowboy hats and it's a space Western kind of time. And then the Neon City looks like just like straight out of cyberpunk. Like you could just like pull it straight out and it would look like that.
Right. Yeah. This is, yes, absolutely. But I'm excited about the space cowboy stuff. I might want to role play my first character as a space cowboy first and foremost.
You know, someone once told me, if you want to fly, come and take a ride, take a space ride. But the cowboys, baby, that's from the seminal film done by the Backstreet Boys. I forgot what the film name was. It had Clint Eastwood in it. It was about space.
The Backstreet Boys did a movie?
No, it was called Space Cowboys, and it was with Clint Eastwood and Tommy Lee Jones. There's a bunch of old men going to the moon, and the Backstreet Boys did a song that goes, if you want to fly, come and take a ride, take a space ride with the cowboys. All right, that's the farthest tangent I'll go tonight, because we got a lot to get through.
I hope you, and I know you're a musician, I hope you do a recorded cover of that.
I mean, I should. Listen, if this video gets 1,000 likes.
Oh, is it NSYNC? Scarecrow says it's NSYNC.
NSYNC. Excuse me. I'm so sorry, JT. I did not mean to infringe on the Timberlake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean. Anywho. All right. Let's talk about character gen.
Check 711
this out. Oh, no.
Subscribed for 2 months. Absolute favorite podcast. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Yo-Yo. For some reason, this thing did not update with the not supposed to talk. I don't know why it's doing that. So I'm just going to turn that off. Thank you so much for the sub. It's weird because it's not supposed to show up during the shows. But anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the character generator. Check this out.
One of the biggest overhauls was done through our character generation system. We scanned a wide range of faces from different age groups and ethnicities. And by mixing and matching all that data, we were able to create highly detailed and diverse characters.
We use that exact system to create all the characters and NPCs you're gonna see in the game. So any character you see almost always is a character you could make yourself.
Snap out of it.
Hey, come on. Okay, take it easy. You were out cold. No physical damage. Mentally, the jury's still out. You know who you are? New recruit for Argos Extractors? Ring any bells? Any of this look familiar?
So two things here. First, we get the explanation about how they modeled a bunch of faces from all different ethnicities. So now you can really make your character look like whoever you want it to look like. You can make it look like yourself as best as you possibly can. So they've expanded all of that. And we've seen a good bit of the character creator stuff before. They talked about how your character isn't just the way you look, but it's your background and how that plays into things, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But then this is the second hint about the whole space magic thing. We were like you and I were discussing before. We have this whole like you were a new recruit for Argos and something happened. Let's see how your brain is doing. It's very similar to the beginning of like New Vegas when you got shot in the head and the doc stitches you back together and asks like, "Do you remember who you are?" I get very similar vibes from this.
Yeah. For that. It seems like it's more like that rather than a waking up at a prison, it seems.
Yeah, we're not getting you were the prisoner. I think we're getting a situation where the intro of the game happens, you touch the artifact, boom, you black out, they wake you back up, and then you have to tell them if you remember who you are. And that plays into the whole, like, how did you get space magic thing, like we've been talking about. Right. So there is that. We did get a good bit about the whole leveling up system, the skill points, the five different skill trees. I'm wondering if there's not another skill tree that has something to do with space magic that they just didn't show us somehow. And then the four different ranks, and the way you rank up is through challenges, which is interesting because it breaks the whole previous game's way of leveling certain things up by just not only are you doing the thing in order to get better at it, but you have to do the thing in a certain way in order to level it up. What do you think about that?
I forgot which game it was that did that similarly. I've played games where that's been the case of like, oh, you need to do, you know, kill 20 bugs by shooting them in the head with a shotgun and then you'll get the upgrade for it. But I really like that system because that kind of challenges people to play a certain play style. So it's like if you're working on leveling something, like you're like, oh, well, yeah, I can use my pistol to do, you know, this challenge for this thing. And once I run out of ammo and that, then I have my flamethrower and I can use my flamethrower to burn all of this other stuff. Like, to me, that seems like an interesting way of leveling rather than being like, I'm now going to cast Soul Trap on the dead body 1,000,000 times and right. Then my conjuration will be 100.
I'm just going to jump everywhere I go, like in Oblivion, right. And then you level up your jumping skill. Yeah, it's a little bit more detailed and a little bit more, requires a little bit more than just mindlessly hitting a button over and over. So that makes sense. Then we get this. Check this out.
I like the xenosociology skill because it lets you mind control aliens.
Boost pack, out of the gate. I'm boost packing everywhere. I like maxing out my physical tree so I can get neuro strikes and just punch my way through combat. That one's a lot of fun. Invest in the skills that suit your playstyle.
I'm very much a stealth player. So I'm out there pickpocketing everyone. My favorite part about being stealthy is slowly creeping through vents like you're in a movie and then jumping out and springing on people.
Whenever possible, I like to talk my way through situations.
Is the area off limits?
Fine, I'll issue you an access card.
I'm more of a run and gun player. I like doing the death from above thing where I boost pack over guys and I throw landmines at them.
Take them down! Move, move, move! You're gonna pay for that.
I like blowing.
I like blowing stuff up. This is the section where they talk about all the different skills and things. But I think this section, more than almost anything else in the entire presentation, really plays up the whole, like, this game is doing the Bethesda thing. And you're going to be able to play your play style the way you want. And the world just works for that.
Right. And how many characters have you started on any of the previous Bethesda games being like, oh, this character is going to be stealth archer, or I'm going to do pure magic, or I'm going to do, like, you know, big guns and maybe I'll do a sledgehammer. Like, those builds are the replayability that you bring into that. So I'm super excited that they put so much time into all of these different powers and playstyles.
Right. I love the whole sneaky assassin build thing, and I'll probably start with that. But the idea of like leveling up your punches, especially because every planet or moon has different amounts of gravity. So you punch a dude on a place with limited gravity and they just fly off. And that's just, that is wonderful. When the physics, you know, or boost jetting over things and then dropping mines on people, like you get as crazy as you want, as creative as you want with how to use these abilities. And that absolutely speaks to me. Also, Yo-Yo in chat mentions the combat looks smoother. I've been looking around on the internet since the event and many different places. I mean, it looks great to me, but many people are posting about like, what did they do? The combat looks amazing now. This is great. What did you think?
I think that they did it. I mean, if you think about the jumps that they made from, you know, even like a Fallout 3 New Vegas to Fallout 4, when I played Fallout 4, I was like, oh, it's like a modern game. It's not like I'm just like shooting off into the world. This one, it feels like, oh, this is like a, this feels like Titanfall. Like it feels like that you're really like, everything's very snappy and you're able to lock on and move and do this boost jump where this guy like throws off a frag mine on top of these people and then scoots the left. It seems like super high, like you could get into super high level play of being kind of like a, you know, a Twitch shooter almost in that regard. It's not going to be 100% smooth as like a, you know, the latest COD or whatever, but maybe
if you're playing in a system with a frame rate that's high enough. I know that
maybe
the frame rate might be limited on some of the, you know, some of the consoles, but who knows? I mean, it legitimately looks really solid. The sniping, the shotguns, the way the like, even they talked about like ballistics. If you're floating through the air in like a zero G situation, you're shooting ballistics, it's going to push you around. You know, like they're taking into consideration all of these different details about how all of that works together. And I think it looks great. So
I think it does too. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what kinds of things you can do with the combat and the skills and combining it all together. So then they move on to exploration and they talk about the 1,000 plus worlds or planets, but then there's also moons and things. I don't know exactly if you get to land on all the moons of all the planets, because that could really balloon the number of locations really quickly, but
yeah,
they didn't mention it. But it seems that there are pre-designed locations. So like you go to a planet and it might have a city on it or a specific location marked, and you go and you land there and that city is built the way the city is built. Everything is designed around what it's supposed to look like. But if you just choose to land in the wilderness somewhere, it generates the world around you individual for not only for you, like this world looks different from any other world that you're going to land on. It seems to be the case. But it also, my version of that world is going to be different from your version of that world because it's going to generate it differently for each of us. That seemed to be,
I think that that's what they were describing. I think that that makes sense with their procedural generation and what they're doing. So it seems like to me that, you know, all this planet is going to, you know, if I think about it in terms of Fallout, like a West Tech facility, they're going to, that's going to be the location that you're going to do the thing on, or, you know, whatever city that they have, but the rest of it and like the kinds of stuff that you can find, those little things, those like, you know, a trailer or something, or like, I'm trying to think of the space, a space trailer, obviously.
Right.
You could come across like that. I think that's going to be like, that's going to be the water cooler stuff of like, oh, I went to this place and this, you know, this giant creature came out and this guy was running from the giant creature. And I was like, what's going on here? And
right.
That kind of stuff.
Right. So I have some other thoughts on this too. I think if you have a world where, let's just use West Tech as an example, you know, West Tech has a facility on that world, or the lore says West Tech has a facility on that world. Maybe that facility isn't even in the main city that you can visit that's already designed for you. But maybe there's just the possibility that if you go to that world, a West Tech facility is one of the things you might just stumble upon in the wilderness. So it gets generated into the world. So if you went to that world and I went to that world, we both may visit the same West Tech facility. It just may end up in different locations, or it may have showed up sooner in my playthrough than in your playthrough, depending on how much we explored that world, all of that stuff, right? Right. Also, there's the concept, Crystal in chat says, it may be like a seed generation system like in Minecraft or RimWorld, which makes me wonder, how do they generate the seeds? Because if there's a, if there's something in like a INI file where...
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
My seed can be the same as yours. Like, I could edit my seed at the beginning of my game so that when I land on the planet, it's going to generate things the same way that you generate things on your planet. That would be really wild, because then you could actually have the same planets generating the same stuff. I doubt that that's happening, or I doubt that at least it's something that we're going to be able to edit without somebody getting in and modding it. I would guess if there's a seed generation thing, it's probably based around a number of just kind of random variables at the beginning of the game that give it a total number, and you're never going to know what that number is that generates the seed, like your character design or how long it took you to go through the intro or like those kinds of things.
Right. And I'm not sure how open they're going to, you know, and, you know, if I was in the same boat, I'd think the same too. Like, I'm not sure how open they'd be with what's procedural and what's not, because ideally, if you're playing the game, you're not going to be thinking about, oh, this is pre-designed and this is procedural. Like, you're going to be thinking, I'm in this world, I'm doing these things. Like, this is not, you're not trying to like discern between the two. I don't know how upfront they're going to be, at least at first, with that kind of stuff.
Right.
But same thing for modding. Like, I don't know how like open they're going to be with modding, like right out of the gate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The harder it is for us to tell what is procedural and what is actually crafted, the better the gameplay experience is going to be, because it's not going to break that immersion. So yeah, absolutely. Also in chat, let's see, who is this? Obite says, maybe that's why it's a single player game. I think it's a single player game mostly because they want to confine it to not having the complexity of a multiplayer game in order to make a single player game as interesting and dynamic as they can, which has been the tradition of this studio. So
right. That's, and their last single multiplayer game was not maybe the most well received at first. So I think that they were like, let's do something else.
Right. Right. So I also noted earlier that every planet has its own gravity, different resources, all of that stuff. And that's going to play into where you go and how you go to places, where you set up your stronghold, your base, whatever you call that. Mm-hmm. Then they showed us some of the ship stuff, lots of cool ship stuff. They went more into details about how modular they are, how all the different components can connect together, how you can build it, how the way you set up your ship from the outside 100% affects the way your ship works on the inside. So if you put an extra room in, there's an extra room. You got to walk through another room to get from one room to another. If you put in certain types of modules, then they allowed you to have certain types of things that you can do inside the ship, like crafting or storage or engines that, you know, help you travel faster or power up your guns or your shields or whatever, all of that stuff, which we'll talk about a little bit. That plays into the combat side of things. Any other thoughts on the ship stuff?
It seems like that they're being very modular with it, which I think is great. There was some different things that they actually, I think, confirmed. One of them was that large alliance, like an alliance, like the the freelance, the Freestar Collective, or the main faction. I'm forgetting the name. Anyways, they have these giant battleships, like a la Star Wars or whatever, that it seems like that you can go to and dock with, which I think is pretty cool. Because people had speculated whether it was just going to be like, oh, it's just every ship is your size. It's like, no, there's ships your size. There's like little fighters. There's like big freight. Like the variability of ships seems pretty cool to me.
Yeah, and it's going to affect a lot of the way ship combat works too, which we'll get into in a little bit. Before that, we got to talk about companions. And you had a note here about Vasco that makes Vasco even more fun.
Yeah, Vasco can say your name. He in the trailer says Captain Howard, which I thought was rather funny. And they left that as a little Easter egg in the beginning of Fallout 4 for the Mr. Handy that was there that would say your name. It'd be like, David, the baby's crying.
Yeah. Right, you right. Know? Now, is it on the, in Fallout 4, it was a list of words and names that they pre-recorded. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is like an AI thing? Like they've got somebody's voice, but then whatever you type in as your name, it will just read it?
What if it's like, Captain Underpants. Hello.
Hello, Captain Underpants. Hello, Poop Smith.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I think that would be really cool. I'm not sure that's the case, though, but we're going to have to see.
We'll have to wait and see. We'll test that out ourselves.
Yeah, and we talked about the companions at the beginning part when we were talking about Constellation, how there's lots of them. You can put them on a ship. You can put them at your settlement. You can take some of them with you. There's romances. We got the tiniest little glimpse about romances and some dialogue going on with that. You can hire crew, just like in Skyrim. If you go into a bar and you meet somebody and they're like, hey, you know, 300 gold and I'll come with you and kill stuff. And you're like, okay.
Right. Is romancing the adoring fan like a, is that like a moral thing?
Oh my
like,
God. Do you think that's even possible? Okay. So we have the adoring fan here. Let me show you this clip real fast. If you haven't seen this yet, this is gold. This is amazing.
You could choose to meet your biggest fan.
By Victera, by Victera, by Victera. Is it really, really you?
He'll join your crew and he'll give you gifts if you're willing to put up with this constant commentary.
I can't believe I get to stand near you, breathing the same air.
I've got to have every molecule.
I've got to have every molecule. And it's voiced, yeah, T-Rex says in chat, it's voiced by the same voice actor. I don't know his name off the top of my head, but yes, same voice actor, very similar character model, just up-resed, you know, like updated for Starfield with the yellow hair that comes to a point on the head, all of that stuff. Dave, I'm considering going this route, using that perk in order to have the adoring fan. But I thought it would complicate it even more because one of the things I mentioned in the character creator section was that if you see a character in the world, you should be able to make another character in the character creator that looks a lot like it or identical to it. What if I was the adoring fan's twin?
And you're just like constantly building each other up. You're like, you're great. No, you're really great. No, you're great.
That would be amazing. Oh, I'm such a fan. It's like, well, yes, clearly you are because I look just like you. It just puts another layer on top of it. This is great. It also, this is an Easter egg kind of thing. Like they could have not mentioned it, but it makes me wonder how many other things like this we're going to see.
Yeah, there's gonna be stuff like that, and then people are gonna, you know, put them in the thumbnail. Is Fallout connected to Starfield? Surprise face, big yellow letters with a question mark, and we all go, probably not. But I think they're willing to have fun. It seems like with you know some of the adoring fan stuff,
yeah,
that they have going on.
Yeah, I love this stuff, and a lot of people do too. So even one of the other, I guess, little Easter eggs was one of the ships you come across is called Grandma, and she asks you if you'd like to come over for some like muffins or something she's baking. I don't remember what it was, the actual line. Is that Skyrim Grandma voiced as a character that you can come across in a ship in the game?
It might be, it might be like the goat test where. Your grandma asks you to come over for muffins. How do you greet her? Maybe that's like,
yeah,
part of it.
Part of it. Right. And then we got more ship combat. We saw more of that stuff. And This feels like a combination of X-Wing, like X-Wing TIE Fighter, like that classic series of games where you have to manage your energy to your shields and your engine and your gun, but it's more than just that, with something like FTL. Did you ever play FTL?
Yeah, I played FTL.
Yeah.
And it's similar to the new Star Wars Squadrons.
Yes.
That had the same, like, all you have your shield and you can put power in your shields or your thrusters or your blasters. But I think there's like six different fields. I think three of those are weapons and three of those are just like your grav drive, your shield and your like your engine.
Yeah. The grav drive is particularly interesting to me because they showed one scene where you're just surrounded by other ships and then you're trying to get the grav drive to you know, fill up so that you can warp out of there as fast as possible, which is also very Star Wars. It's that whole, like, you know, the Empire's on our butt. They're getting ready to pull us in with a tractor beam. We need to, like, warp out of here as fast as possible, right?
Yeah. I'm so in for that to be. I would love to be overwhelmed, you know, like in that regard of like just like massive amounts of ships flying around you, chasing you, and you're trying to grab jump out of there. That's like the I can feel the adrenaline. This is it's like a pre-course of adrenaline. It's an aperitif. It's
the appetizer of adrenaline.
Yes.
So then they also showed us they're staying true to this. You can't necessarily just fly into a planet and land yourself down. There's cutscenes, and they showed us cutscenes of landing and taking off, but nothing in between, which is fine because that gets you into the action of exploring on the planet faster and it gets you back into space faster. They're getting rid of that middle section, which I'm sure is partly due to that reasoning, this idea of like get you to the parts that are most fun first. But also probably a technological thing. They're not building, you know, Star Citizen with the way the technology works for like landing directly on a planet. And I've played Star Citizen. It takes you a good 10, 15 minutes to get from space to the surface of a planet because you got to go all that long distance through the atmosphere and then land it and all of that. That would be a huge time sink with all the different locations you're going to want to be going to in this game.
Yeah, I personally don't mind it. Like, I think that there's, you know, there's games that do that. And I don't think this needs to be one of those that has that, like, oh, now we're, you know, the surface to planet stuff. Like, it seems like that they've got like plenty of asteroids and all kinds of stuff to fly around in space. And as long as you have that as like a, you know, an obstacle, I think that that's perfectly
right.
Great.
Right. Yeah. It's a Bethesda RPG in space, not a space sim, says Crystal in chat. Yeah, absolutely. Plus you can't crash your ship into the surface of something and then all of a sudden now you don't have a ship anymore. Right. But you can disable other ships. You can board them. You can steal things off of them, which seems super fun. Like, what if you did a playthrough where you tried to like a stealth playthrough where you landed on other ships without them knowing you're there, and then you took as much as you could and then get off without killing anybody, and just like the kleptomaniac of space.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be a space pirate. Like, that's pretty much all I'm gonna do. This is one of the rare Bethesda games that I'm gonna start playing that I'm immediately just gonna be like, yeah, I'm a pretty terrible person. Just because the idea of just like I'm hijacking everyone's ship. It doesn't matter who you are. Yes, I'm gonna be chased constantly. Yes, I've got contraband. Yes, I've, you know, I have this like immense fleet of ships that I've conquered. I'm so excited for that element of it. And it reminds me a lot of old like pirate sims like Sid Meier's Pirates or Assassin's Creed Black Flag or like Sea of Thieves, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the idea that you can just capture the ships and then you just keep a collection of them. I also have to wonder if that means you can take components off of each of the ships and just like attach it to your own ship. So like, what if for every ship you capture, you take one of the components out and you end up with like a Frankenstein main ship with individual components from all the ships that you capture?
Tom, that's the dream. You're talking the dream right now. That's my dream. That's my personal, that's my dream of September. After September 6th, that's my dream. Throw it all out. The rest of it, it doesn't matter. That's the dream.
Yeah. So a Frankenstein ship. This goes back to the whole section where they're showing all the ships. And one of the devs was like, yeah, I made a mech. It's a ship that looks like a mech and it just flies somehow. That's great. All the flexibility with that. Then they showed us the watch, which we actually posted to Starfield Insider, which is our little website where we're posting Starfield news and stuff. And that had gotten leaked, and sure enough, that's a real thing. And the controller and headset, which I believe was leaked a few weeks ago with some of the designs, but we got a nice up close look at it with the way it, like, it has these little lines with like different control, like the words for each of the buttons and what they do, and the controls all mapped out on the controller. What'd you think of those?
I thought it looked cool. I'm not a big like peripherals fan. Like I just don't have a lot of, as look at, you know, my peripherals. I thought it looked cool. I think it's one of the cooler designs for an Xbox controller. Like, as far as like stuff that they've branded, like, it looks interesting and looks like a video game controller. It doesn't look like, oh, we've slapped on a captain's wheel onto a controller and here you go. Like, right. It looks like it's something that's like new age and kind of techie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's tastefully designed. Like, it still matches the aesthetic and all of that. Well, then we got a little bit more about exploration. This is the most No Man's Sky part of the game, the whole like you can go walk around the surface and then mine resources and, you know, take a look at all the different fauna and flora all over the place and kind of catalog it all and all of that stuff, which I'm sure is like super big for some people. It's not really my thing. I tried doing that. I tend to bounce off that stuff pretty quickly.
I'm a big like checklist kind of guy. So that's going to be right up my alley of, you know, scanning the plants and fauna and then reading the descriptions of like, oh, this animal eats, you know, seeds from the tree and then he poops them and into this like lake, like that kind of stuff. I think is pretty cool. And especially when it comes to like, I'm really excited to see what they do with procedural generation for a lot of that stuff, because in No Man's Sky, some of those creatures just look like, oh my God, this thing is like from hell. Like it's like a triceratops, but with the smallest head possible on a giant body. Like, they just like move all the sliders everywhere, so it looks like you pressed random on the character creator. So I'm curious what a more
realistic
Bethesda touch is going to do for that procedural stuff.
Yeah, they were saying they wanted the animals to look like they could be real animals. They're just like on alien worlds. So I think they're going less cartoony than No Man's Sky, a little bit more accurate. Then we have outposts. Here, check this out.
After some exploring, you can find a spot to set up a base camp. Outposts can be built almost anywhere on any planet. And the habitat modules come in all shapes and sizes, filling all different purposes. You can even live in them. Assign crew and companions to work at your outposts for added bonuses and set up extractors to harvest resources while you're away.
Something cool we have this time is we have a new fly cam where you can toggle between on-foot building, or you can now use a top-down isometric camera, which helps plan out larger parts of the outpost and placing those larger halves. So that way you can really plan your structures and what the overall feel of your outpost is. And then when you're on your feet, you can really decorate and fine-tune things much easier.
So what do you think about the whole outpost thing, Dave?
I'm a big fan of the base building system in No Man's Sky, and it seems to be very similar, even from like their camera's perspectives of like, you know, for those who play No Man's Sky, is like a space sim that's cartoony, I would say, in appearance. But they have a whole base building system where you can go out big and build different stuff, or you could go in, you know, right in your first person view and play stuff. It seems like they took a lot of direction from that, even pulling what I think, like, I saw the mineral extractor. I'm like, oh, that looks exactly like the mineral extractor from No Man's Sky, because I'm a huge nerd. But it seems like that they're really upgrading a lot of their previous building that they've done for 76 and 4. But I'm really curious about how, we talked about crew, we've talked about, you know, your companions and that kind of stuff, of what like an upgraded settlement system is going to be like from Fallout 4 settlement. Like, oh, we're going to have these people doing this, these people doing that. Well, how are those characters going to interact with your outpost? Like, are you going to be like, oh, I'm going to set up a oil farm, and so I've got to have people that know about that, so I've got to go find, you know, little Jimmy down the road at the space bar with his space kitties.
Jimmy the oil farmer.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Come run my oil farm at my outpost named like the oil toil.
Oil barn.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a feeling that if you build the machine that pulls the oil out, it operates at like a base level. But if you have people in your settlement that are good at that, it adds like a multiplier to it. Like
yeah,
now it's 20% more efficient or 50% more efficient, something like that. But you can still use it if you don't have a person who's a specialist. That would be my guess on that one. But yeah, I mean, it looks like it's easier than in Fallout 4 or Fallout 76 because you can look down on everything and kind of craft stuff from that perspective. You got these like little robot guys wheeling around, almost like, again, like Star Wars, like these little mini robots that are just like, they look like little boxes on wheels, just kind of like scooting.
Yeah, like Gaunt droids, you know. Like
yeah. Yeah. And lots of different locations and modules and extractors and all of this different stuff. Even the furniture inside looks like you can kind of change it out and design that stuff a lot. I haven't done, I'm more of a utilitarian base builder when it comes to like Fallout 4 and 76. I kind of build what I need. I give it a once over for aesthetics and then I'm like done. I'm like, that's my base. I'm done. But some people love to just build and build and build. And it seems like you can do this across multiple worlds, which seems pretty cool. Then they dug deeper into the combat, talking about all the different weapons, all the different ways that you can customize them. They even specifically said that they think they've designed more weapons in this game than any other game that they've ever created. So, and we're getting a variety of them. We have ballistics, we have laser weapons, you have mag weapons. Yeah. Those look really, really cool with all the different little lasers pointing which direction those things are going to shoot. Big weapons.
I think I'm gonna try to melee. Do like a build that's like a flamethrower and a cryolator, you know, like all kinds of like weird little elements that I can shoot out of people in space, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm excited for the modularity of that. It seems like across the board, the modularity of the weapons, the ship, your character, like your companions, like your base, like everything seems like you can customize it out to Wazoo, which I think is super, like, it seems like the evolution. Like, it's like, oh, you remember our Bethesda games? Well, this is our Bethesda game on steroids.
Yeah, they didn't mention like legendaries though, so I'm wondering if you beat like Crime Lord, you know, Poop Face, does he have like a really cool rifle, and then you get to have like the poop shooter rifle or something?
Yeah, I think I like that idea. I like the scenario you gave, in fact, but
spreading feces and disease across the galaxy. So weapons look awesome. As we mentioned before, combat looks way refined. It looks so good. And then we get to the end of the conference. So we got to wrap this up. And we have this moment where your character walks into a group of enemies and waves the hand. And then all of a sudden, gravity stops working. Check this out. And for those of you who are just listening on the audio version of this, this video is going to go up on my Robots Radio YouTube channel. So if you want to check us out and see our beautiful faces and some of the clips, you're welcome to go there. Check this out. Hand waves, and a bunch of dudes just start floating around in a hallway. And that's it. That's the only glimpse we get of like space magic.
I have a theory that I think that space magic, as you've said, is going to revolve around gravity. I feel like that's like an easy physics-based thing that they could invent like a magic system off of. Because, like, you know, gravity is weird, like black holes and white holes and like the gravitational phenomenon and that kind of stuff. I think is likely one, or at least one of the areas in which they're going to do a lot of that space magic and through.
Yeah, so like I think you're right. I think we're going to see some gravity stuff. Like maybe we see people floating, maybe we see like a black hole that sucks a bunch of people in and crushes them. We could definitely see that kind of stuff. Do you think we're going to get like Palpatine lightning or something? Like are we going to have energy? I mean, gravity is a form of energy in a way. Like are we going to get,
I don't know, but they talked about one of the perks is like mind controlling aliens, and I can't, like I don't know how that would work in a realistic way outside of, you know, some space magic woohoo-ness.
Yeah, because it's not taming them, it's mind controlling them.
Right.
Which sounds like space magic. So I think, you know, to go through this whole thing, we got a lot of really cool stuff. But we definitely have very, very strong hints here about space magic, especially with this final scene, but that that's going to play into the main storyline for your character. And it's going to be more than just making people float in a hallway.
I think you're right. I think you're right about everything. I think we're going to end up being right about everything.
Of course we are. We've been right about everything since we started the show, like exactly 2.5 years ago and started Space Facts. If you haven't gone back and listened to the other episodes where we make ridiculous speculations and are 100% right all the time,
go
listen to those episodes because they exist. This episode and those other episodes are eventually going to get kind of cataloged somewhere once we get into like the game is released and the actual content people really want to know now that they already know that the game's out. So that'll be happening in the future as well. All right. Final thoughts, Dave. Final thoughts on this entire thing.
I think this is one of their best showings for a game. I think really since that Fallout 4 showing, I thought was really fantastic. But I think this is one of the best showings for one of their games. They drove it home that this is one of their most customizable games, that the experience is tailored to you specifically. Not a single person will have likely the exact same experience across the board. They talked about how much this game is about exploration, that I particularly enjoyed, because I mean, how many, you know, you find out stuff in Bethesda games all the time. Have you been to every single location in Skyrim? Like, likely you may, even if you may have, you don't remember them all.
Yeah. Even if you've played hundreds and hundreds of hours, you may not have stumbled across all of them or don't even remember at this point.
Right. So that's kind of all of that gets me really excited for this. And Lord, please, Bethesda, stick the landing. If you do, this will be one of the greatest games of all time.
So do you think the delays are worth it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, if they showed this off and they're like, yeah, this is going to take 2 more years, I'd be like, sure, yeah. Starfield Lorecast will just continue speculating space facts until then. But I'm still excited for September.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree. I'm glad that they're doing this right. It feels like they might have brought in some other teams. Like, there's speculation that like the Doom team got brought in to refine some of the gunplay and then that stuff, which I wouldn't doubt that that's possible. They're, you know, part of the same studios or publisher, I guess, technically. For the most part, I think this looks amazing. Like, I was expecting this to be good, but it has exceeded my expectations across the board. And I guess the one thing left to find out is not, is this a well-designed game with really cool stuff that we're going to want to do? It's at launch, how buggy is it, right? Because it's a Bethesda game. Is it buggy in a, yeah, sometimes weird stuff happens kind of way, and that's fine? Or is it buggy in a, yeah, it keeps crashing, and I can't play for more than 30 minutes? I doubt that it's the second one. But I guess we'll just have to see.
They are trying to push not only the Xbox systems, but also the Games Pass with this. I think that's why they took the extra year, honestly. It was to refine everything and make sure that everything's ironed out.
And work with Microsoft, who now owns them. So that, like, working together seems like that's working out for them.
Right. Like, this is a system seller. Like, this is how you get people to buy stuff, like, to get onto your service. It's like how Nintendo has like Zelda, or you know, PlayStation has
God of War or Last of Us.
Last of Us. This is that for Xbox, and I don't think that Xbox has had one of those in a really long time.
Yeah,
I think maybe like back, you know, old Halos and stuff was probably the last time that they had that.
Right. Gears of War and Halo, that whole generation of stuff.
Yeah.
So final thoughts. I think it looks great and I'm super hyped, and stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and come back, because we will be doing more episodes. And Dave and I have been talking about some of the things that we can do to fill the void for the next 3 months before we get to release. So maybe some fun little things will come out. Maybe some things will be released. Maybe people on the internet will discover fun little nuggets in screenshots of stuff or whatever. We will be reporting on it. So stay tuned for that. And thank you for being here, everyone. Thank you for being here, chat. And Dave, any final thoughts before we move on? Anything you want to share before we head out?
I still do my tabletop role-playing game Rad Rolls on all the podcast services. We're finishing up our New Orleans stretch and moving out into the great world of America. And coming soon, I can confirm for a fact that we will be doing a limited run of a Starfield game in that podcast. So more details on that soon, but expect it sometime around when the game releases.
Awesome. That's exciting. So yeah, tune into that stuff, Rad Rolls, and check out all the other podcasts on the Robots Radio Network, robotsradio.net, including the Fallout Lorecast, the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, a bunch of other stuff that I do, and a bunch of other shows that other hosts do as well. So if you're looking for more content, it's all out there. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being here, Dave. Thanks for being here, chat. Stay safe out in that crazy galaxy, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
You enjoyed this show.
Did you know that parodies are copyright protected?
Tell a friend and review
on iTunes
or other services.
Dave and Tom excited for Starfield. Let's all speculate and wear no shoes.
Hey, why aren't we wearing any shoes?
Because shoes rhymes with iTunes, and that's the best I could think of.